Good morning, good people. This is Kiplin Primus, your host for The Local Take on Jazz 91.9 WCLK. And this morning we're joined in the studio by Mr. Justin Carr, who is the Director of Partnerships for the Westside Future Fund. Mr. Carr, welcome.
Thank you. Good morning.
I am happy that you're here. I've heard some things about the Westside Future Fund, but could you tell our listeners exactly what is the Westside Future Fund and how did it come about?
Sure. Well, I'll start with how the Westside Future Fund came to be. Back in 2013, when Arthur Blank announced that he'd be building the Falcon Stadium in town, he also at the same time pledged $15 million to support Westside neighborhoods. As you know, that money was then matched by the city, and that started really a wave of interest and dollars aimed at revitalization of the West Side. Fast forwarding to the end of 2014, former Mayor Kasim Reed approached the business leaders in the city, the Atlanta Committee for Progress, to stand up an organization that was really focused on coordinating and accelerating the efforts that were going on so that we could really make the most, collectively make the most of this moment and generate the most benefit for the West Side.
So now how does the West Side Future Fund work with the community on the West Side?
Well, it happens in a number of ways, and we'd like to talk about the different roles that we play, different hats we wear, if you will. So one is the role of accelerator, and what we mean by that is really reaching out to the corporate community and the philanthropic community in the city and bringing funding to support projects that fall within the impact areas that the Westside Future Fund focuses on. And I can say more about that. Another way that we're working is also as a strategist. As I mentioned before, there's a lot of attention right now on the West Side, and with that, a lot of resources. And it's an opportunity, but we believe that, you know, the best way to go about trying to make sure that this moment in time is different from similar moments in time in the past is to have really smart stewardship of the resources that are coming from, again, corporate Atlanta, as well as the large foundations in the city. So we play the role of strategist there. We also understand that in order to not be a top-down effort that's driven by decisions that are made from folks that aren't necessarily residents of the community, we want to be as present as possible. So we really take the role of participant seriously. So as we increase our presence and increase just our activity in the community, we want to be there, be present with the community as much as we can so we can understand what's kind of going on. One key role that we also like to play is to make that connectivity with folks that aren't necessarily connected to what's going on the West Side, be a conduit for that information and have that sort of information flow work both ways, right? So being a participant is really important. And the last piece I'd say in terms of how we work with the community is to be a convener. We host a bi-monthly event called the Transform West Side Summit. This happens on the first and third Friday of every month. This has been going for over 2 years now. And Friday mornings, twice a month, 7 a.m. bright and early, we bring together elected officials, business people, folks from the nonprofit sector, that's the kind of civic side of our city, as well as just interested citizens and residents from the community. And so we feel really proud of being able to create that moment that happens consistently. So we want to continue convening in that way. And this is where folks can hear about things that are happening on the West Side and can also have dialogue amongst each other and make those connections that maybe wouldn't otherwise happen.
And that brings me to that next question is how were you working with community members, and does everyone in the community understand about the bi-monthly meetings? Are they participating? Are you hearing, you know, kind of new and innovative things from the community members? How is that outreach working?
So this is an area where, quite frankly, we're growing and we're getting hopefully better at it and more engaged. So I'll talk about a couple of examples where we're really trying to reach out directly to the community. But I'll just say generally, our goal is to make sure that, as you kind of mentioned, folks understand what the West Side Future Fund is doing. Give us an opportunity to share kind of what we know and make those connections, because we're working across various areas and at different levels. And so we have the ability to, you know, kind of share with folks and maybe connect some dots, since we're serving as an intermediary in many ways. But an example of how we are really trying to get out into the community directly and publicize and promote programs is our anti-displacement tax fund. Not sure how much you know about that, but it's been something that an effort that we are proud to have established to help protect homeowners in the communities we work in, which, by the way, are Vine City, English Avenue, Ashview Heights, and the AUC. And so in order to protect and help to make sure that homeowners can stay in this community if they choose, we wanted to address the issue of rising property taxes. So as you know, in a situation like this where communities are evolving and property values go up, the taxes become an issue. We have a lot of seniors in these communities on fixed incomes. Overall income levels are low in our communities. And so that extra, that tax appreciation is going to make a real impact, especially when, you know, the acceleration in property value starts to happen. So we wanted to get ahead of that problem and basically created a fund that essentially freezes tax property taxes at, you know, current levels or at the level that they are when you sign up for the program. So we want to make sure folks know about this program. The anti-displacement tax fund is what we're calling it. That's required us to really get out into the community beyond working just through our networks and having folks spread the word as much as possible on our behalf. We've sent folks out starting in Ashview Heights. We have a team of volunteers actually led by young folks, college students, residents of the West Side. Young woman who's leading the team grew up on the West Side and is in school here, and she's led this group out. We take folks out with the group as well, and they've been knocking on doors sharing with neighbors about the anti-displacement tax fund. That's been in Ashview Heights, which, as you know, is there's a large concentration of homeowners there. So we wanted to start with that community. That's one example of some of the grassroots on the ground efforts that we're pursuing. But in all honesty, we need to do a lot more, and we hope to do a lot more. So we are trying to work on strategies that are going to be the most effective, and again, have those strategies and tactics be aligned with what else is going on, so that folks are getting information in a consistent and comprehensible way. They aren't, hearing from five different people knocking on their doors all the time. So we want to make sure that we're doing it in a streamlined way.
So you mentioned the West Side Volunteer Corps. Share with our listeners what the West Side Volunteer Corps is, and if they're interested in participating or learning more about being a part of that, how they can be a part of your grassroots team.
Sure. So I will start with how they can get involved, and then I'll repeat it at the end. If you go to westsidefuturefund.org and click on the volunteer link, you'll get all the information you need about the West Side Volunteer Corps. But to back up, the West Side Volunteer Corps is an initiative of the West Side Future Fund to essentially get folks activated, folks from within the community and from all parts of the city, to give of their time and have a kind of entry-level way to get involved in the revitalization effort. It doesn't involve or require you to have money to donate. It doesn't require you to have any particular specialized skills. If you just come and are willing to give your time, we can find an opportunity for you to be involved in the larger movement to help benefit the West Side and help see these neighborhoods evolve. So we've been working through the West Side Volunteer Corps every month to launch and execute volunteer projects that benefit West Side nonprofits. One group of projects are corporate projects. So we've got companies coming to us with volunteers that we're then able to connect with projects that benefit West Side nonprofits. On the other side, we do what are called community days of service. So each month there's a community day of service where we invite anyone and everyone to come out and volunteer, and we have a number of projects set up for them to engage in. These range from beautification projects, cleaning up parks. We back in November on Veterans Day had a great project going on Sunset. We helped with the rehab of a transitional home for veterans with a great nonprofit called Joseph and Sarah Caring for Vets. We're partnering with other organizations to do work. We've partnered with The Mission Continues. We're partnering with AHA. We supported their farmers market back in October and had a whole fall festival there, all volunteer driven. So there's a range of things that you can get involved in, from kind of building a fence to face painting, just a number of different things. So that's in a nutshell what the Volunteer Corps is, and we're excited to take this forward. It's been something that has been made possible through the generosity of the Chick-fil-A Foundation. And we've been piloting the effort since the end of August. And in that pilot phase, our execution partner has been United Way of Greater Atlanta.
Now, you mentioned those impact areas, Vine City, English Avenue, Ashview Heights, and the AUC. How did you determine that those were the areas to impact?
So those areas are, I mean, that's kind of a custom footprint, if you will. But the logic behind it is that those areas mirror two major investments. So the Choice Neighborhoods Grant, which is a Department of Housing, a HUD grant that the city of Atlanta won. So our footprint captures the Choice Neighborhoods Grant and also the West Side Tax Allocation District. So between those two areas, we have a footprint of about 2.2 square miles that hits on those four neighborhoods you mentioned.
And I've heard of the Anti-Displacement Tax Fund. I think that was successful in other areas that were facing the same kind of evolvement in the neighborhood. In addition to that, is there any assistance for African Americans or new homeowners who want to be a part of the revitalization to purchase homes or to revamp, you know, abandoned homes?
So what you're touching on is part of the bigger community retention strategy that we have in place. I'll say that where we're focused right now, our number one priority is anti-displacement. And so to us, that means two things: stabilizing homeowners with efforts like the Anti-Displacement Tax Fund, and also supporting renters in a number of ways. A vast majority of the community residents in these neighborhoods are renting. So we know that that's really something we have to be focused on right now. The pieces that you're talking about, conversion from renters to homeowners, for example, that will be something that we start to get into a little bit more down the line, maybe later on in the year and in 2019. But along with the homeowner focused projects, like the Anti-Displacement Tax Fund, is some of the rehab work that you're talking about. So through the generosity of some of our board members and other philanthropic folks in the city, we're able to have funding to work with Habitat for Humanity on their Brush with Kindness program to rehab homes for homeowners.
That sounds wonderful. It sounds like you all are doing a wealth of different projects to assist and to, as you said, community retention, to make sure that folks can stay in the homes that they raise children in.
Right.
You know, children want to come back home no matter what.
Right.
So that is a wonderful thing. Now, you talked about different events and opportunities, and there is an event taking place this weekend.
Right.
Could you share with our listeners what the Westside Future Fund is doing in regards to the MLK holiday weekend?
Sure. Well, MLK Day obviously is a big day of service, both here in Atlanta and across the nation. And, you know, Martin Luther King Jr. being such an inspiration and such a huge part of the West Side's history, we have been waiting for this day to really make, you know, a real big statement and really commemorate the day in a special way. So we aligned our January Day of Service with MLK Day. And what we've done is launched two different projects. One is a partnership with another nonprofit, and one is a series of projects that we've put together. So on MLK Day from 10 to 1, we'll be doing volunteer projects at Washington High School. The idea is that it's a community resource day. So the big project that we're focused on is a school supply sorting project. We've collected tons of school supplies that we'll then have volunteers sort out for distribution to a number of schools that we've already identified. We're also on that day are offering some resources to the community. So there are a couple of workshops that we'll be executing, and volunteers are helping to do that. One is a youth-focused panel where they'll get different career perspectives from a range of professionals and entrepreneurs that we've put together. And we also have a financial success workshop that the On the Rise Financial Center, who's a nonprofit based right in Vine City, who are experts in financial education, will be executing for folks and delivering that workshop for residents.
So Justin, you talked about that one part of the MLK Day of Service at Washington High with the panels and the volunteers, but you mentioned that there was another part of that day. What's the other event?
Right. So the other piece of the MLK Day of Service is actually a partnership that we have with the Mission Continues, which is a veterans serving nonprofit. They are partnered with the Bellwood Boys and Girls Club over in English Avenue, and they're bringing hundreds of volunteers out to completely revamp that entire club inside and out. So they're activating, I think, close to 300 volunteers that day. The Westside Volunteer Corps is bringing a nice contingent of about 100 volunteers there as well. There are actually slots for that opportunity still open. So if you go to our website and click on the volunteer tab, you should see that opportunity there. But this is going to be a great piece, another project to get involved in, and we want to support that as best we can.
Very good. Now, how can people get involved with that event? Do they need to register? Who is allowed to attend? Who do you want to attend?
Sure. We've been fortunate to get great demand for volunteers since folks really, you know, are used to kind of coming out on MLK Day to volunteer. We've got a great interest there. And so for the activities happening in Washington, our volunteer slots are full. However, we're looking for folks to come and benefit from the workshop, both youth for the career panel, as well as adults for the financial success workshop. They can go to the Westside Future Fund's website. So again, westsidefuturefund.org, and click on events. And when they click on events, you'll see the actually the registration for the workshops right there. So folks can just click on that button and they should be signed up. Come out to Washington High School at 10 a.m. And we'd love to have folks come out.
I think that youth panel for professional development is so important because our children don't know what they don't know. Mm. And if you're only used to the professions that you can kind of, you know, see in the media, I want to be a rapper, I want to be a basketball player, or I want to be a superstar, you don't think about all of the things that even support those kinds of careers. There's so much opportunity. And if you don't know, you don't know.
Right. Agreed. I mean, there's so many different routes to take. And really what you're talking about is the beauty of mentorship. Folks that have been down a path, have had experiences, and can give you that perspective ahead of time. So you are more aware of the different choices in front of you and have more options and things that you can pursue. So we're hoping to inspire kids around different career paths. We're hoping to also allow them to have dialogue with the volunteers, the adults who are in the room, to just talk through the ideas they have for where they might want to go after school. And so, again, it's just that mentorship and that exposure that we want to provide.
Now, you've mentioned the volunteer reach. You've mentioned some of the events and opportunities. What do you want our listeners to know about the Westside Future Fund that even with all of this information, they might not know? What is that one thing you all are doing that you're excited about?
To name specific programs is a tough one, because I really believe in all of what we're doing. So I would point out just in, I guess in the sense that we are really focused on anti-displacement right now, just making sure that folks know about the anti-displacement tax fund. If you're a homeowner in the area, if you're a renter in the area, know that we are working on strategies that focus specifically on renters. And one partner that we're really excited to have working on the West Side right now that is helping renters is the Atlanta Volunteer Lawyers Foundation. They are working on the West Side within Hollis Innovation Academy and over in Vine City. And the Atlanta Volunteer Lawyers Foundation is dedicated to fighting bad landlords. And they have come into the West Side after some success on the East Side and in Thomasville Heights Elementary. And they've brought a model over where they bring a lawyer and a community advocate to a central location, in this case, Hollis. And they're able to help families that are having landlord-tenant disputes, substandard conditions in their homes, and really help them really exercise their rights as tenants to fight against bad landlords. So that's one that I would point out and highlight that's specifically focused on renters.
You also continue to mention your partners, and you've mentioned some great partners. Are you all looking for other partners, and what types of organizations and entities are you partnering with?
Yep, we are. We are looking to partner with more people. The West Side Future Fund is not set up and is never intended to set up, intended to be the source of programs, intended to run its own programs. It's always been intended to run through partnership. And this is because there's a recognition that within community and within this city, there are a lot of organizations that are doing fantastic work. Back to the roles that we're playing in terms of amplifier and accelerator. If we can play a part in lifting up what's working and lifting up already high impact organizations in the community, that's what we want to do. Now, the issue might be capacity. You know, there are organizations that we know of on the West Side that we just love. We admire for what they've been doing. Dedicated folks that are reaching youth, feeding folks that are hungry and are working diligently and have been for years, but have not been able to expand their capacity for a number of reasons. The West Side Future Fund can play a role in helping to do that. And so when you ask about what types of organizations, I would say our partners run the gamut from nonprofits that are in community up through foundations, other funders that we can collaborate with, to corporations that want to make some connections. So we're having those conversations all the time about folks that want to bring their resources to bear on the West Side.
You've mentioned the website, westsidefuturefund.org. Mm-hmm. You've mentioned the event tab. You've mentioned the volunteer tab.
Right.
Are those the two ways for folks to get involved? Is there another way? Our listeners are listening right now. If you've got an organization, if you've got a need, if you need more information about the displacement tax fund, how can they get involved and reach out to your organization?
Sure. I'll point people back to the website to reach out to us. There's a contact tab on the website, phone number, email address. We'd encourage folks to email us and reach out to us. We read all of those messages and they get sent to the appropriate folks within our organization, and we try to be really responsive. But we invite folks to reach out to us. Another way that people can really get involved is to come out to the Transform West Side Summit. We hold those again every first and third Friday of the month. We have them at the Gathering Spot, so the over near North Side and North Avenue. And that's a great way, again, to hear about what the West Side Future Fund and its partners are doing, hear about issues really that we're all collectively trying to tackle, and get connected to other folks that you may potentially not, you know, have brush paths with or brush shoulders with. So making those connections to really move the collective effort forward.
I love it. The West Side Future Fund, come out to their bi-monthly gatherings on the first and third Friday. or find them at Washington High on MLK's Day of Service at 10 a.m. Mm-hmm. Justin Carr, thanks so much for taking the time to come and share this very valuable information
Thank you.
With our listeners. Thank you so much.
Well, I appreciate it. Thanks very much.